Escala Sockyhole Street by Louise Welsh. It is late on an autumn afternoon, a Glasgow day of low cloud and stinging rain, of puddle water swelling in blocked stanks. Light is sucked from offices and schoolrooms, from rooming kitchens, factories and not yet quiet shipyards. Shadows reach across Carnegie Library men's reading rooms, where newspaper pages turn, no men wanted. It is all about the light, the lack as day slips into night. In Lascelles Sockyhole Street, an usherette guides a shadow of a man towards a pair of eyes bigger than a subway tunnel. A tear slips down silvered skin that never felt the slap of winter. That same tear has run down that same cheek 30 times this week. The usherette knows the ending will not be tip-tappity-happy, an upwards-downwards writhing jig of frantic glee. Beneath her feet, black carpet beetles flee the torch beam's trail. The man slides into red velvet, couched in black. The usherette kills the light, retraces her steps, climbs the aisle. She stands by the door, cradles her torch like a weapon, a gangster's gun, tough man's cosh. Hollywood is beautiful, a white sign upon a hill, movie studios and swimming pools, tramps who make it lucky. A car is speeding down a long straight road, asphalt and palm trees, untroubled skies. The driver wears a black Homburg. His smile is no smile at all. He's been a reporter, a rich cad, a cowboy with no time for Apaches, a knight in tight armour and a mirror tight with love. Now he is a detective on the trail. Same face, different hat, narrowed eyes and smart chat. The scene cuts to an electric, brilliant dance floor. Black musicians making big noise music. A staircase with the sleek swoop of the Lascelles foyer. It makes the usherette dizzy. Life is a movie within a movie, an art deco dream that denies calloused hands and chapped lips, the empty coal bunker in the kitchen, the tram ride home. The detective walks towards a lamed blonde. Her hair is fluffed with curls, studded with sparkles. She rests her cigarette in an ashtray, raises her cocktail to her lips, her eyes to his, her cheeks dimple. He strikes a match, lights a lucky strike, does not remove his hat. Cigarette smoke drifts across the screen, merges with shelves of smoke that hang reluctant ectoplasm above the audience's heads. The barrier between this world and the next is thin in Lascelles. The world beyond the screen, a slip of celluloid away. The trumpeters raise their trumpets, trombones slide. A new woman emerges from behind the curtain. Her hair is loose, her gown black, her lips glossy. She tosses her head, thrusts a long leg through the slit in her skirt and starts to sing. The blonde inserts a fresh cigarette between pursed lips, and a dark man at the next table meets her eyes. The usherette has seen it all before, seen it 100 times this week, knows all the hop steps and pivots, knows who will stop a bullet. Some nights she pushes the kitchen table against the bed recess, turns up the radio and waltzes across the lino with a wee brer. He's too young to know she likes to lead, gives him the girl's part. She wants to Lindy Hop, but her mother objects. Neighbours bang the ceiling. A silhouette interrupts the screen as the shadow of a man gets to his feet, crosses the aisle and takes another seat. The usherette keeps her eye on him, and right enough, the girl he sat beside rises and hurries away. The usherette would like to take her torch and shine it in the seat-shifting bastard's eyes, make him squirm like a gangster beneath a naked bulb. But she's been warned before, and though there are cinemas galore, one on every corner, she likes this place. The usherette slips from the auditorium, tells a bellboy to fetch the doorman. When she returns, the scene has changed. The singer wears a wide-lapelled coat, a jaunty hat. She and the detective are circled by mirrors in the booth of a lounge bar. The camera flits between their reflections, their gauzy faces and snappy lines. There is old business between them, not yet done. The woman discards her hat, runs her fingers through her hair, sleek and shiny as a wet-nosed spaniel. The usherette touches her own hair. She doesn't like the singer, knows she's full of guile, but she would like her hair, her wide-lapelled coat, her style. The usherette can see herself catching the tram home in that outfit, hair curled, waist cinched, the feather of the jaunty hat nodding. Music rises, chords swell, darkening the mood, a storm threatening. Somewhere near the back row, a man is snoring, unaware of women's fashions and weather warnings. The singer grips the detective hand and makes a promise the usherette knows she will not keep. Dust and tobacco smoke are caught in the beam of light that stretches from the projection booth to the screen. The detective and the singer are dust and smoke too. The woman takes out her compact and regards her face. The camera closes in on her eyes or their reflection. It's uncertain which. They fill the screen, irises wide. Beyond the cinema's realms, the usherette has never been so close to another face. It is far away, across the darkness of the auditorium, across the Atlantic. So close, she can see the brush of down on the singer's cheek. The detective has a scar on his top lip. It saves him from looking too soft. The usherette's big brother has one too, says he got it in a fight. Her cousin says he fell face first into his pint. And it's true, her brother's scar is curved like the rim of a glass. The usherette squints, trying to see if the detective's scar forms the same half moon. But he's telling the singer she's nothing but a silly child. He's about to grab her arm and shake her. A baby is crying. Its mother rises and rocks the shawled child up and down the aisle, her attention on the screen. Someone will die soon. The usherette knows who, knows where they went wrong too. The detective and the blonde are alone in the blonde's bedroom. He's worked out who the killer is. The blonde fingers the revolver in her pocket, shows her teeth, draws the detective into an embrace. Their mouths lock as if they're sucking oxygen from each other's lungs. He pushes her away and she falls backwards onto the bed, her hips pointing in his direction. He sees the outline of her gun and dares her to go ahead and shoot. The blonde gets to her feet. Her smile is strange. The usherette glances up at the projection booth, catches a glimpse of the projectionist ready for the reel to end. She moves to the auditorium doors, steadies herself with a sudden blast of light. A shot rings out. The baby stops crying. The usherette does not bother to watch the woman crumple and die again. The detective catch her before she hits the floor, hold her limp in his arms, recite the same lines as before and before, matinees and evenings, evenings and matinees. The usherette prefers monster movies. Boris Karloff, Bela Lugosi, The Mummy and King Kong. She has strange dreams about Dr. Fu Manchu. Her wee brer likes the westerns, says he's going to be a cowboy one day, drive cattle across wide open spaces. sleep beneath broad and starry skies. Tenement streets are narrow canyons he needs to escape. Big Brothers and Gangsters models himself on Edward G and Jimmy C, worries her mother no end. The credits are rolling. Bellboys pull the doors wide. Cold air rushes in. Some people gather their hats and coats, babies and toddlers and message bags. Others stay slumped in their seats, ready to go round again. And after a while, the auditorium doors swing closed. Titles roll, the story recommences. Asphalt and palm trees, silvered skin and glossy hair, trumpeters blowing horn, a detective with narrow eyes, a blonde and a brunette, and a bullet that knows its target. The usherette leans against the wall. A man slides into the dark. She clicks her torch, lights the way to a red velvet seat couched in black, kills the light, retraces the way back. 6 years later, the usherette and projectionist race along a socky hole street stripped of light, catch the last subway to make it through before a bomb strikes. In Clyde Bank, blacked out streets are a fire show of splintering tenements, people felled without finesse, districts rubbled, peace and war toppled into the Kelvin, windows shattered in homes and offices, the university and art gallery. Bombs fall on Sandy Road and Heyburn Street, Dumbarton Road and Peel Street, on Tradeston and Drumchapel, Mary Hill and Shield Hall, the Broomielaw and Dalmuir Basin, Prince's Dock and Old Kilpatrick, Knightswood and Drumry, Blainfield and Fintry, on and on. The roll of place names is less than the roll of the dead. Later, the lights return, and later still, new buildings rise. Niskella's auditorium is cut into portions, three separate screens. There are no more bellboys, no more Saturday morning kids' screenings, no more doormen. Nobody wears a hat. Disaster movies and disco, high school cheesecake horror, and journeys through starry galaxies. Even the monsters change. Gangsters persist. So does love and horror and dancing and cowboys smoking cheroots, horses' hooves raising billows of dust as they gallop across sandy wastelands. But even when they save the girl and win the day, they can't rescue La Scala. Multiplexes and home entertainment slam shut its doors, and there are no more usherettes. But for now, she stands by the auditorium door, watching the story play out again. She touches her hair and imagines herself in a jaunty hat, decorated with a feather and a coat cinched tight at the waist. The shadow of a man crosses the screen, and a woman hurries away. The usherette tells a bellboy to fetch the doorman. A baby cries, and the singer backchats the detective. He says, "Sure, baby, sure." And while the picture plays, everything is sure. Bad weather kept at bay, every movement certain. Death, a clean and choreographed dance, played out 6 times a day.